Hi, and welcome to this episode of Newscast with me, Beth Espy. And today we're talking to somebody who took on a mammoth challenge earlier this month. It didn't, as we'll hear, all go quite according to plan, but he still managed to raise thousands of pounds for charity and has really learnt something in the process. And I think it's a lesson that we can all take on. We're going to hear now from Martin Malone, who's an expedition leader for Expedition Limitless. And I first asked Martin just to remind us what Expedition Limitless is all about.
Expedition Limitless is an initiative that's been going since 2002 and has two purposes. One is we take people who have absolutely no experience or any real kind of qualifications in terms of outdoor adventure, and we take them on incredible expeditions. First of all, to prove like that human, that innate resilience, that human factor, it's in us all. But also we want to raise significant amounts of money for our local charities. So, for example, year one, we raised £65,000 for Listen. Last year, £110,000 for Manx Men Cap. And this time around, we're doubling our target and looking to raise £200,000 for the Children's Centre and Rebecca House. So there's a dual purpose there. It's about proving that human resilience and raising lots of money for charity at the same time.
And clearly, you must have a bit of an adventurous streak, Martin. So is this how this came to be part of your life?
It is, yeah. All three of us who are expedition leaders on Expedition Limitless are from military background. So the idea came back in 2002 with my colleagues Phil and Matt, who just came up with this idea of doing Expedition Limitless. And the three of us work really well together, so anything adventure-wise, I love it. I work in an office now, so when I get a chance to get outdoors, I do. And Expedition Limitless is a perfect opportunity for me to use some of my skills to really do lots of good for the Isle of Man, but also to give people these incredible opportunities.
And I think there's a sense sometimes that people are either adventurous or they're not. And I think it's really interesting that you talk about showing people how far almost that they can push themselves. Because I'm guessing you've probably taken people who would have thought that really wouldn't have been for them.
Yeah, year one we had people who went to the Arctic who'd never even experienced snow before, had never been skiing. Last year we were in canoeing the Yukon River in Canada, and we had people who'd never even slept in a tent. So these are like people who ordinarily wouldn't even dream about going on an expedition or being out of their comfort zone in an environment where a hostile environment, for example, in the Yukon Territory, where there's 40,000 people in an area twice the size of the UK. So very remote. Same in the Arctic, very hostile environment. But with the right training, the right support, the right equipment, we can give them an opportunity, and then people really start. They raise that resilience tide mark. They realise they can do so much more than they ever thought possible. So it's incredible to see that as well. It's really nice to see people like develop and get so much from it.
And why do you think it is important for people to push themselves sometimes?
I think the main reason now is we're surrounded by our creature comforts, aren't we? And we talk about our children not being as resilient, but realistically they are. They've just never been given the opportunity. And adversity in nature tends to bring out that resilience. And that's some of the reason we do this, is to prove to people that if you just get out of your comfort zone and experience nature and do things that don't quite feel comfortable to you, then you can really start to reveal that resilience. And that resilience then crosses over to other parts of your life. When you raise your resilience tide mark, it helps you in work, it helps you with your family life, it helps you in every other way. So it's really important for people to see that.
And so remind us then about the latest challenge that you've been involved in.
Oh, right, yeah, my big swim. So every time we do Expedition Limitless, I do a personal physical challenge to raise some money. And I have to keep raising the bar myself, because first year I did a swim. I swam 10 kilometres across all the bays of the island, and I think we raised 26,000 with that. Last year, I canoed around the Morag Park for 24 hours in a homemade canoe for 24 hours and raised 16,000.
Can I just check, did the homemade canoe stand up to it all?
It's still going.
Wow.
It's actually at the lake in Kent where I did a big swim. And then I thought, well, I better raise the bar. So this time around, I decided I would attempt to do a 24-hour swim continuous in St Andrews Lakes in Kent, where the canoe lives now, by the way, the homemade canoe. So, you know, from outset, I thought, you know, this is a huge challenge. There's a high probability of failure when you try and swim for 24 hours, because it's a long time in the water. It's a lot of pressure on your shoulders. It's a lot of physical exertion. So I went into it knowing that you know, there's a high risk. I wouldn't actually be able to do the full 24 hours. Up to 2 weeks before the swim, I was in great shape, perfect condition, and I injured my left shoulder about 2 weeks before. Not a bad injury, but enough to cause me some concern. And so on the morning of the big swim, it was a slight concern for me, and I did go into it thinking, I hope my shoulder holds up. It did for the first 8.5 hours, and then it started to ache, and then that ache became a pain, and the pain became worse and worse, to the point where just over 16 hours of actual swimming time, the safety crew decided to put me out. By then I covered 30.5 kilometres. And in all of the knives, because my daughter was with me, and in all of the knives, she said to me, "Dad, if you swim for 2 more hours and wreck your shoulder, you're not going to raise any more money." By then we'd raised a significant amount of money, so £30,250, which is just mind-blowing. I'd set out with a target of 50, which is really ambitious, hoping to raise maybe 20, 25, and to hit 30,000 and above was just mind-blowing. So that made a lot of sense to me, but I still wasn't going to make the call. The safety crew eventually said, "You're in too much pain, we're going to pull you out." But we'd done what we set out to do, we'd raised a lot of money, so I can't be too unhappy with that, although unfinished business in my own head. I'll have to attempt it again at some point.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It feels like you would not have made that decision yourself, or you would have certainly pushed yourself to the absolute limit. And that must have been really such a difficult moment when you realised that actually that decision had been taken out of your hands.
I couldn't say it myself. The team gave me some time to make it myself, and I couldn't get the words out of my mouth. I just couldn't say it. And Phil, who's our expedition leader, Phil is the person I mentioned at the start, Phil Quirk, who came up with the concept of expedition limits. I had already spoken to him, and I'd spoken to safety crew. I said, "If it comes to it, I won't be the one to make the call. You're going to have to do it for me." I was determined to carry on, even though I had a 10 out of 10 pain in my left shoulder. But when they made the call and I got out, I was glad they had, but it wasn't going to be me.
And how is your shoulder now? Did it cause any long-term issues?
Thankfully, they stopped me at the right time. I think if I had to go on for another 2 hours, for example, I probably would have done permanent damage. When I say permanent, it may have been more serious. I may have needed surgery or whatever. 2 weeks since the swim, and I'm about 80% recovered, and I'm actually going to go for a swim on Sunday and just test my shoulder in the sea and give it a bit of a run out. So I feel good now. I feel really good. And the really annoying thing about it, from a personal perspective, like I said, the fundraising, amazing, we achieved our target. But from a personal perspective, every other bit of my preparation, how I felt on the day, my nutrition was 100% perfect. I was capable of swimming 24 hours plus, but my shoulder wanted to go to the pub, so I hadn't got a choice but to stop.
But there's something to learn from that, and I suppose that sort of fits into the whole model of Expedition Limitless, is that actually, you know, sometimes these setbacks do happen, but the important thing is mentally to think, okay, well, that didn't happen at that point, but there could be another time in the future, because I'm guessing, like you said, unfinished business, it's possibly going to be something you attempt again.
Possibly, yeah. I'm okay with using the word failure, because that's what it means. I failed to achieve the task, which is swim for 24 hours. And failure is not a bad word in my opinion. I failed, and I've learned from that so many things. I've learned probably more from failing than I would have done if I had, you know, succeeded in the 24 hours. And I think people don't be afraid to fail, because if you don't have a go, you're never going to fail. But if you don't fail, you'll never learn. You'll never see where your limits are. You know, I found the limits of my shoulder 2 weeks ago, but I think personally that people should get out of their comfort zone more often, and don't be afraid to fail. We learn more when we fail, absolutely.
But I mean, at the end of the day, Martin, you still swam for 16 hours. And just talk me through the practicalities of that. I mean, do you sort of stop and tread water for food? Did you get out at any point? How does that work?
I was in the water for the full time. Every hour I stop, I have a tow float behind me. If you've seen anybody swimming out in Douglas Bay or around the island, there's lots of swimmers now, you have a tow float for visibility. It's not a flotation device, it's just there for visibility. But because it's a blowing up float, it does create some buoyancy. So I would hug it and put my food on the top and drink, and just eat and drink maybe 3-4 minutes and then go again. The longest you lie around eating and drinking, your body temperature drops, you get a bit cold. So the idea is just get your nutrition in and then just carry on. So every hour, stop for 3 minutes, eat, drink, go, and just keep doing that over and over again.
And what would be the food and drink of choice when you're doing an adventure like this? Not that I'm planning it, but just in case somebody was.
Right, okay, so very individual. I was really lucky because Bike Style supported all the nutrition, but they let me try all the different supplements that they stock, which was really helpful because I was able to use them during training and see which ones didn't cause any gastric distress. And I kind of, over time, I narrowed it down to energy bars, gels, and some carbohydrate drink with electrolytes in it. I kept it really simple. It worked. I kept it simple, and my partner was there, and she was making sure everything was there, the right amount of calories. I was having 100 grams of carbohydrates every hour with about 750 mils of liquid. And I think right in the middle of it, I said, I need a cup of tea. And we had brought a flask, and she ran off and made me a flask of tea. So the next time I came around, I actually had a nice hot cup of tea. So I'm sitting, I'm lying in the water just drinking my cup of tea. It was the nicest cup of tea I've ever had. And that's it. It's really simple. So practice nutrition plus a cup of tea, and that's all I needed. And I just kept repeating that every hour. Lots of people have asked me that question, actually, about how do you eat when you're swimming? How do you do other things as well, like which I'm not going to get into.
I know. Well, you know, we're all thinking it. We're all thinking it, Martin. But, you know, should we ask the question? But, you know, there are those practicalities, I guess, to take into account.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, anybody who swims long distance in the sea, it's one of life's little pleasures when you wee in a wetsuit, especially if you're cold.
Well, yes, that and a cup of tea. What more could you want? And as you say, I mean, the overriding aim of this was to raise that money, and you've raised a fantastic amount. And presumably people would still be able to donate towards that.
Yeah, the link is still open, and it's in my bio on Instagram and any of my posts. So I'm leaving it open for the time being because there's still some donations coming in. And it's helping us get towards our £200,000 target. And if you really get under the skin of what Rebecca House and the Children's Centre do, because you know they're two charities, we hear about them all the time, but it's the work they do, the bits that you don't see or hear about, is the really important things that we're there trying to support by raising money for them. They've huge amount of money to have to raise every year just to keep going, and the services they offer the Manx public are just invaluable. And that's why Expedition Limits, I love working with the team, and I love working with Phil and Matt, because we're doing a really good thing for the Isle of Man, and we're making a big difference, and that's such a nice thing to do.
And just tell us where people can find that link then to give money.
If they go on to either my own Facebook, Martin Malone, you'll find me on my Instagram, same, just search for my name, or on Expedition Limitless. So in Expedition Limitless, if you scroll down, see any of my posts with my mugshot, the link will probably be in there somewhere. That's the best way to find the Big Swim link. But it's still, I'm going to leave it open for another month, maybe, to pick up any final donations.
And just finally, presumably, if anybody was interested in what Expedition Limitless is all about and maybe would like to get involved, they can get in touch as well about that.
Of course they can, either through the Expedition Limitless Facebook page. But if you... we have a website as well. Just type in Expedition Limitless Isle of Man and the website will come up, and you'll be able to read all about what it does and how to get involved. There's an application process every year to be part of the team. And anybody can... We have no age limit on it.
And I'm sure you'll be offered a very good cup of tea, yeah?
Absolutely.
Very important, very important.
Absolutely.
And slightly unfinished business. Are we going to see you trying to do the same thing again next year?
I don't know. I won't put a date on it, but it's certainly, yeah, something that I'll... When my shoulder is okay, I'll test it again in the future, not necessarily in the next few months, but next summer I'll test it. Maybe there'll be another 24-hour swim on the horizon.
Well, enjoy your swim on Sunday, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.